and welcome to Kingwood United Methodist Church. Thank you for joining us today. Wherever you're listening from and whatever service you're listening to, we strongly believe because of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, there is always more to life.
Well, good morning. And this would be the time when everyone would say good morning back, but you can't really do that because you're online, so that's okay. My name's Jeremy. For those of y'all who don't know me, I'm the new associate pastor here at Kingwood United Methodist Church. I'm really glad to be joining y'all today in your homes or wherever y'all are watching from. It's really good to be here. I wish I could meet every one of you, maybe have your faces up on the little chairs we have set up. I don't know. But I'm really looking forward to getting to know you, getting to meet you whenever that time happens and comes. So we're starting a new sermon series today, starting with the book of Joshua, and we're examining this transitional season from the wilderness in Exodus to the promised land and how Joshua led his people, or led God's people, through that time of transition. That's really where we find ourselves, is this, as Stacy talked about a couple of seasons ago, this semi-permanent season of transition where it just feels like, you know, nothing is quite settled, nothing is quite right. And we look at how God specifically leads his people through that time. And I'll read our passage for today. It's Joshua 1, 7 through 9. If you have your Bibles, you can go ahead and get those. Or if you just want to look on your screens, that works too. Starting in verse 7. Be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the law my servant Moses gave you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, that you may be successful wherever you go. Keep this book of the law always on your lips. Meditate on it day and night so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. For the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. Word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. So Joshua 1:9 is kind of one of those verses that I think every good Christian has a good piece of Joshua 1:9 artwork. I know when I went off to college, I think my mom got me 3 different pieces that had some semblance of Joshua 1:9 on it. If it all wasn't in a box, I would show you. But I have some pictures up on the screen, or I guess y'all can't see that screen. So be strong and courageous. This is a nice little wooden decorative piece of art. Nice, be strong and courageous up on the front. And then if you want to go to the next slide. This is a little journal that is a little stretched, but it says, be strong and courageous, written right on the front. Good Christian journal to have. And then the next one. A be strong and courageous coffee mug, because you need strength and courage by drinking your morning cup of coffee. And so we love putting that 1:9, be strong and courageous. But one thing I noticed when I was looking for a Christian artwork is how the emphasis is always on the be strong and courageous part. It's on the first part. And I think that's something that we get backwards with when it comes to this passage, when it comes to this verse. We put the emphasis on the wrong part of the scripture. God tells us to be strong and courageous, but it's not like he's giving us a pep talk. An example would be one time when I was little, I scraped my knee as a kid. And I was crying, and I went to my dad, and I was like, Dad, I need you to do something about it. And he kind of looked at it, saw that it wasn't that big a deal, and he was like, pat me on the head, like, you'll be all right. You know, be strong and courageous. You'll be fine. Just toughen up. And we kind of think that this verse is sort of similar. God's saying, you know, toughen up, do better, be strong and courageous, you know, man up, you know, just summon your inner strength to do better. And scripture actually tells us that it's the exact opposite, that God's not giving us a rah-rah talk about how we can be better, but God is saying, here's how I want you to trust more in me. Here's where your strength and courage come from. So let's look at the context of the book of Joshua, and we'll kind of see how we have that emphasis in the wrong place. So Joshua 1 starts off with the death of Moses, and God speaking to Joshua saying, you are going to be the one who leads my people. Very daunting task. I mean, if you're comparing Moses to Joshua, Moses is like, I want to say the Jesus of the Old Testament. That sounds a bit sacrilegious, but he was sort of the guy of the Old Testament. He was the one that delivered the law. He met with God face to face multiple times, met with him on the cloud in Mount Sinai. Like, this is the guy to replace. And so Joshua is stepping into that transitional season where there's a leadership change. Not only is there a new leader, Joshua, but they're going from wilderness season into the promised land. That's been the beginning from Abraham all the way up to now. It's been this sort of mini climax that Scripture has been working towards, that finally now, after hundreds of years and multiple giants in the faith, we're finally getting into this promised land. And this promised land is filled with giants, as we find when the first time they go into the promised land. When Joshua goes in Exodus and he says there's huge fruit and huge grapes, but there's also huge giants there. And so there's a challenge, not only of a leadership change, challenge of transition from one space to another, but also the challenge of that the place they're going into is quite scary. And so when God says to Joshua, be strong and courageous, he's not saying you need to do better. He's saying here's where your strength and courage is going to come from during this transitional season. And I think many of us are feeling like we're in a similar transitional season. We have a lot of anxiety or tension or uncertainty in our lives, whether that's, you know, the yo-yoing between opening up, closing, how long are we going to do this for, when's the virus going to stop, when are we going to get that vaccine. You know, there's deep-seated division and distrust among institutions in our country where it just seems like we don't know what the future is going to hold. Maybe it's in your own personal life where you have financial uncertainty because of the virus, or there's family dynamics that are not ideal, and you don't know what exactly your future is going to look like either. And so as we go forward into a similar uncertain season, how does God want to speak into that? How does God want to speak into our lives? And it's not that our strength and courage comes from ourselves, but our strength and courage comes from our dependence on God. Joshua's strength and courage came from his dependence. I'm going to start off with verse 9, that Joshua's strength and courage comes from his dependence on God and the reality that God goes with him. I'm going to reread that again, especially that last part, and I want you to pay attention to. Have I not commanded you, be strong and courageous? Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. For the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. For the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. One of my professors in seminary liked to say, if there's a therefore, you need to ask what it's there for. A little funny pun he liked to do. So, for your God will be with you. And that's the great promise that God gave to Joshua, that you're not going into this transitional time alone. You're not going into this new season alone. That I, in fact, am going with you every single step of the way. That God does not abandon us in these times of transition. That God is, in fact, with us in these times of transition. That God is going to be with Joshua. And that Joshua can be strong and courageous, not because of himself, but because he knows who is walking beside him and who is going with him. And so as we ourselves are in this transitional time, walking into uncertain times, we too have a similar promise. In fact, I would say the exact same promise from Jesus, who says, I will be with you, from the Holy Spirit who is with us, and then this similar promise in Joshua, I will be with you. And so when we have no idea what the future is going to hold, it seems like we're learning new things about this virus every day. It seems like things are changing all the time. We have no idea when we're going to be back in, to meet just regularly. We have no idea when things will go back to normal. That we can kind of trust that in the midst of all this, that God is walking with us, not in this distant, far off kind of idea, but he's with us every step of the way. It's like he's holding our hand in the midst of everything. And I think God's challenging us in this season to be more like Joshua, to be more dependent on him and less dependent on ourselves. Because I think it's really easy for us to rely on our own strength, our own power, our own knowledge, Because we've been kind of been in control of things. We're the ones who know best about things. But God's saying that it's actually the exact opposite, that it's through dependence that strength and courage comes from. It's not from doubling down on what you've been doing in the past, but it comes from reliance on a source of strength that's greater than yourself. And so God is calling us, and in this season of going forward, he's saying, I want to walk through this season with you hand in hand. You are not alone in this season because I am going with you. The reality of God being with us is what separates Christianity from almost from every major religion. I just got finished taking a world religions class, and that was what stood out to me the most, is the promise of the Christian gospel is that not only did God come down and redeem us and save us, but God is still with us, that God is walking beside us, that God has given us his very spirit, that God enters into the very midst of our suffering, and that he doesn't shy away from it. He's not distant, that he is closer to us in the very air that we breathe. And so that we can have confidence that God is walking alongside us in this season of uncertainty. At New Room last year, it's a Christian conference that's put on by Seedbed. There was an author there named Jack Deer, and he wrote this book. It was an autobiography called Even in Our Darkness. And in the story, he talks about how his son committed suicide. And it's basically the story of, it's his life, and it's flashbacks between God kind of walking him through this really dark season of his son committing suicide. And he tells a story about how when he was on the plane going down from where they were living to Dallas to do the funeral, he said his son's body was on the plane. And he remembers he was just kind of numb and just in shock about everything that had happened. And he's sitting on the plane and he says, I heard this really still, small voice that if I wasn't listening, I would have missed it. And he said, he heard the voice of God say to him, hold my hand and I'll walk you through this. Because the reality is with the Christian gospel is that even in our darkest season, even when it seems like there's no possibility of hope, even when it seems like everything has been lost, that God says, I am going with you in this season. That you are not alone in any of this. You are not abandoned in any of this. That no matter what happens, I am the one who goes with you. Be strong and courageous because I am going to be your source of courage and strength.
Thanks again for joining us for today's message. We will return to the sermon in a moment, but first, we would like to ask for you to rate, share, and subscribe to our podcast. We believe God is doing some amazing things here at KUMC, and your feedback helps our church to reach new listeners that we wouldn't otherwise be able to reach. Now, let's get back to the Word.
So how do we nurture that closeness with God? How do we get closer to God? And I think Scripture tells us here, too, we do that by depending on Scripture. If you want to put that second verse up, verses 7 through 8. Be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the law my servant Moses gave you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, that you may be successful wherever you go. Keep this book of the law always on your lips. Meditate on it day and night so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful. The Lord gives Joshua some pretty specific, heavy instructions about how to follow Scripture. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left. Do everything in it. And I think if we read this command can either seem burdensome or life-giving. And I think that really comes down to, what is your view of Scripture? Do you view Scripture as a burdensome rule book, something that is meant to kill all the joy in life, something that's just a bunch of rules that we have to follow everything correctly? Is reading Scripture a chore that we have to do, something that we have to make sure we check off our good Christian list to make sure Jesus still likes us? Or is Scripture something that is the very source of life in us? the very guidebook of life? Is it the very divine wisdom that can guide us in all aspects and avenues of our life? Because if we view Scripture as this burdensome rule book, that when we read this command, it's going to seem intimidating, scary, and it's not something that we're going to want to do. But if you look at it like Joshua thought of it, and like God thinks of it, that Scripture is actually the guidebook to life, the source of divine wisdom. What if we thought about Scripture that way? How would you change how you read Scripture? How would that change the attitude you came into Scripture? How would that change your actual reading of it? If this is, I am reading divine wisdom for today that God will speak into my life. I am reading God's guidebook to life today. Would that change how you read Scripture? I think it would. I know it does for me. I can tell a difference when I'm reading Scripture. You know, I'm a pastor. I got to make sure I read my Scripture for today, and I just, you know, and I read it. Or when I'm actually saying, Lord, I need you to speak into my life, and I read it, and I'm listening for the voice of God in the midst of my Scripture reading, listening for how God is speaking to me through the words on the page, because it's the very source of wisdom, the very guidebook to life that God wants us to live and breathe and meditate on. Meditate on this Scripture day and night. And I think on some level we all have this idea that Scripture is wisdom. I mean, you're tuning into this live stream, which means that on some level you think, yeah, Scripture gets some things right. I think too often, though, we have this tendency to say, you know what, Jesus, you did really good on that whole salvation thing, and I'm real grateful for it. And I think you really nailed that. But you know, when it comes to these other things that you say I should do, I really don't think that's very smart. I don't think that when you say my power is made perfect in weakness, I don't really think you've thought that through. When you say the first will be last and the last will be first, I really don't think you've thought that through, Jesus. That's not really smart. That's not really how we do things here. See, we believe on some level that God's way is better than our way, but then on other levels we say, you know what, God, I think I'll take it from here. And so we kind of pick and choose what areas of our lives are we going to let Scripture speak into, what areas of our lives are we going to let God speak into. And we have this tendency just to ignore the things we don't want to hear and to say yes to the things we do want to hear. I remember the first time that the Lord told me to talk about my anxiety from the pulpit, I said, no, Lord, that's not what I'm going to do. That's not the image that I want to portray to people. I have to be better. Don't you know that it's silly for me to go up and talk about my weaknesses from the pulpit? Don't you know that this is not how things are supposed to go? And I brought up that verse, my power is made perfect in weakness, 2 Corinthians 12:9. And that was the verse during that time that God was saying, I want you to talk about this. He kept bringing it up over and over and over again. And I just thought, Lord, no, that's not how things work. You don't know what you're talking about. That's not really all that wise for me to go and share that. And I just had to get to this moment where the Lord kind of challenged me, where he said, do you trust that my wisdom is greater than your wisdom? Do you trust that what I'm asking you to do, even though it seems foolish, is actually divine wisdom? Do you trust that I have my best heart for you? Do you trust that my power is made perfect in weakness? Do you really, really believe that? And then when God makes you do an action in response to that, what you find every single time that I've done that, every single time when I step out and it seems like this is foolish, God, this is not going to work, every time God catches me. Every time God's wisdom is better than my wisdom. Every time where I think I would have been better to do it my way, it doesn't end up being any better. But every time I do it God's way, it ends up way better than I could have ever imagined. That my power is made perfect in weakness. And I remember when I gave that sermon, I had so many people come up to me and talked about how impactful it was and how much it meant to them. And I just thinking like, man, you were right and I was wrong. And how many times do we have this constant battle with God where he'll show us his wisdom is better than ours or his way is better than ours, and we'll say yes to that, but then no to other things? Because Scripture is right. Scripture is the very wisdom of God. Scripture says, or God says this about himself. My thoughts are greater than your thoughts. My ways are higher than your ways. Something like that. I'm doing the Jeremy paraphrase. And so it takes situations of trusting God where it seems like foolishness happens, but in fact, wisdom and fruit come from it. And so as Joshua is going into the promised land, the Lord reminds him that he's already been given everything he needs. Not only am I going with you, Joshua, not only am I walking beside you, Joshua, but I have given you the very guidebook to life itself, that you have what you need, that you have the wisdom, that you just need to meditate on it day and night, that you just always need to be thinking about it, always having these scriptures on your lips, always be just thinking about the wisdom that I've already given you, that you're not lacking, that you're not needing anything, but I've given it to you. Just meditate on it day and night and do what I've already told you. Because what I've told you isn't foolishness. It's not to get you down. It's not to attack you. It's to give you my very wisdom. It's to give you my very courage and strength.